I'm Mark Steinmetz.
Robert Clara is a longtime magazine editor and writer. He has served on the mastheads of numerous titles, including Town and Country and Architecture, and he's currently a contributing writer for American Road magazine. His articles, essays, profiles, etc. have appeared in a wealth of periodicals, including American Heritage, the New York Daily News, the Christian Science Monitor, Classic Trains, and Victorian Homes. Well, now from Robert Clara comes FDR's Funeral Train, a betrayed widow, a Soviet spy, and a presidency in the balance. And we'd like to welcome to our Good Morning Hudson Valley studio writer and author and historian Robert Clara. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We want to, be clear on this. Since we've had authors on previously who have written historical novels, but this is not a novel. This actually happened.
No, all of this happened. And it strikes people as kind of strange that it did happen because there's a lot of FDR biographies out there, and most of them tend to leave off naturally enough when FDR died. But that's just where mine picks up. And it describes the 3 days that it took to bring his body from Warm Springs, Georgia, up to Hyde Park, New York, where he was buried.
April 1945,
that's
victory
correct, yes.
In Europe appeared within reach.
Within reach, yeah. But there was actually not as much within reach as people thought, because Germany looked on the eve of falling, but they were predicting that Japan would hold out for another year and a half. So FDR's death left the country in an incredible state of uncertainty and turmoil. He had led the country throughout the entire war and, of course, the Depression as well. And so his loss, which was quite sudden, was a emotionally traumatic event for the country.
Now, I wasn't born yet, but I've read accounts that he was sitting for a portrait or something.
Yes,
of that
he
nature.
Was. He was down in Warm Springs, Georgia, at a cabin retreat that he had built down there, and he was being painted for a portrait by an artist named Elizabeth Shumatov. And he had a cerebral hemorrhage. It was on the third day that the portrait was being painted. He died suddenly. He lost consciousness immediately and died a few hours later.
And the outpouring of unbelief and grief that followed in the days, and I've seen pictures of, along the route of this train, people just, in tears as the train passed by.
Yeah, that's one of the things that drew me to writing this book, because I was amazed at, it's important to remember that radio was the mass media at that time, but not television, and not yet. And remember FDR had been president he had been elected to his fourth term. So, every American, under 12 had never even known another president. So he had become such a fixture and such a leader. And suddenly when he was gone, people literally didn't know what to do with themselves, and they did not know how to mourn. And anyone within walking or driving distance of the train tracks that took his body, that 1,050 miles, literally stood along the tracks waiting for the train. And some of them stood all night. Some of them built bonfires and camped out. And all they did was stand there and wait for the train to pass so they could pay their respects to him.
Your focus is on the journey and also what was going on aboard the train.
Yeah, that was, I don't want to be unfair and say that I'm the first person to cover this topic. There have been some other books that have given this topic a few paragraphs or a few pages. But I didn't want to just write a book about people standing by railroad tracks and crying, for as profound and moving a thing as that was. Fortunately, with some spade work, I was able to uncover a good number of the private journals and diaries of many of the prominent passengers who were aboard and describe the trip. And so this book is a first ever look truly behind the shades of the Pullman cars. It was a news blackout for the most part aboard the train. It was wartime. And this is a chance to see what really took place aboard a train that, it's also important to remember, carried about 140 of the most influential members of the United States government.
And this book delves into that. And we're actually going to talk with, we're talking with Robert Clara. He is the author of a new book called FDR's Funeral Train, A Betrayed Widow, Soviet Spy, and a Presidency in the Balance. At that point, at the death of FDR, suddenly someone that the American people knew little of, Harry S. Truman, became the president.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, a common refrain at that time was, who the hell is Harry Truman?
Right.
And the frightening thing for Mr. Truman was that FDR had essentially done nothing to prepare him for the presidency. And so he had extraordinarily little time to learn the vagaries of the office and even top secret things, including the atomic bomb, which Truman did not know about at the time he took office. But Truman had painted himself into a, well, was painted into a corner because he had a funeral to attend hundreds of miles from Washington. He was on the second day of his presidency, scrambling to get up to speed on what he needed to know. And suddenly he was facing an 18-hour round-trip train ride to FDR's burial. So the remarkable thing is Truman made the amazing decision, one that is largely unheralded, to use his private car in the funeral train essentially to run the first few days of his administration. And I, in one chapter, take the reader aboard that car, where there was a great deal of policy discussion, talk about the war, and basically he cut out the template for his leadership aboard this train. And I think most people don't even have the slightest idea that the early days of the Truman administration, and in fact, much of the planning for ending the war itself, began to take shape aboard a Pullman car.
Robert Clara, and we'll talk more with him at about 8:50. Again, the book is a fascinating book, especially for history buffs. I love history myself, so this is quite a book here. FDR's Funeral Train, more coming up at 8:50 on Good Morning Hudson Valley.
Good Morning Hudson Valley, with all the news, weather,